A quick announcement before we get into today's episode. On Saturday, July 29th, Rain Organica is hosting a DIY body oil workshop at Affirmations of Wellness Yoga Studio in Oceanside, California. And during this workshop, we are going to be talking about essential oils and also botanical carrier oils that support a healthy menstrual cycle. So we're going to kind of start out the conversation around what your hormones are doing throughout your menstrual cycle, how they ebb and flow. Today's podcast episode will actually give you a little bit of insight into how that piece of the conversation will go. And then from there, we'll talk about specific essential oils that support different menstrual cycle irregularities. So they support your body in achieving a normal cycle. And when I say normal cycle, I mean a regularly scheduled cycle that is pain-free. And yes, that is entirely possible. So during the workshop, we're going to focus on specific menstrual cycle irregularities, including PCOS, so polycystic ovarian syndrome, endometriosis, painful periods, which is the topic of today's conversation, PMS, so however PMS presents for you, whether this is cramping during your premenstrual phase, whether this is crazy mood swings, whatever this looks like. And then we're also going to talk about essential oils to support you during perimenopause. And so this would be ones that support low estrogen and also low progesterone. Now, today's episode is, again, just a little bit of insight into that in-depth workshop. And at the end, or actually during that workshop, throughout that workshop, you'll get a chance to experience these botanical carrier oils for yourself. You'll get a chance to experience each one of the essential oils, so both the ones that we talk about in the podcast episode today, and then also quite a few ones in addition to the ones that we're talking about today. And then try your hand at blending essential oils and creating your own body oil to take home with you from that workshop. So again, that workshop is from noon until 3 on Saturday, July 29th at Affirmations of Wellness Yoga Studio in Oceanside, California. And the link to sign up is in today's show notes. I highly encourage you to reserve your spot. All right, without further ado, let's get into today's bonus episode. Welcome to Holistic Wellness, a podcast exploring the science and metaphysics of health and wellness. I'm your host, Brandi Searcy, pharmaceutical formulations development scientist, certified health coach, and fertility awareness instructor. I'm also the founder and formulator at Rain Organica, where you'll discover a path to clearer, hormonally balanced skin in 3 easy steps. This bonus episode accompanies Dr. Sarah Villafranco, the interview with Dr. Sarah Villafranco, the founder of Osmia Skincare. And what I wanted to do is kind of build on Dr. Sarah's and my conversation around essential oils and expand on that. So now, to set the stage for this, so rather than just jumping in and talking about, okay, so this essential oil does this, 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 what we're going to do first is set the stage for even having that conversation around which essential oils support symptoms of PMS or symptoms experienced during the menstrual cycle by talking about the menstrual cycle first. And here, you're not dialing in on just your period. We are talking about your entire cycle. So let's get started. Day one of any given cycle is the first day of your period. Now, things are already starting to happen within your body that set the stage for your next period on day one of your cycle.
So on the day that you start to bleed, even though hormone levels, and here when I say hormone levels, I'm talking about estrogen and progesterone specifically, are either falling rapidly or already at their lowest point, one or the other, for this particular cycle, then what's happening kind of in the background is up in your brain, follicular stimulating hormone is starting to be produced within your pituitary gland. And this is sending messages down to your ovaries to start the development of the next month's cohort of follicles. And why do I say cohort of follicles here? Like, what is cohort of follicles? Well, in any given cycle, you have more than one follicle that is developing, whether you have PCOS or not, does not matter. In any given cycle, more than one follicle begins to develop. It's recruited to begin developing, begin maturing within either your left or your right ovary. And during any given cycle, both your left and your right ovary have follicles that begin maturing. And what sends the message to these follicles to start this whole process is follicular stimulating hormone, which again is produced by your pituitary in the base of your brain. Now, when FSH, so that's the short for follicular stimulating hormone, starts to rise again on day one of your cycle, and it rises in response to the fact that your estrogen and your progesterone levels are plummeting. So as those go down, your FSH goes up in response. Then as levels of FSH rise and begin to stimulate that development of the follicles within your ovaries, these individual follicles each start producing estrogen and testosterone. So there's actually a couple, the follicle itself is kind of like an onion. There's the what will become the egg at the center, and then surrounding that is a layer of what is known as follicle cells, and then surrounding that is a layer of what is known as granulosal cells. And these cell layers become thicker and thicker, not just a single cell layer thick. It's just kind of to give you an idea of what this onion that is the developing follicle looks like. So you have the developing ovum or the developing egg at the center, surrounded by a layer of fecal cells, and then surrounded by layers of granulosal cells. And again, maybe more than one cell layer thick. So the fecal cells are generating testosterone. And what converts testosterone to estrogen within those granulosal cells is an enzyme known as aromatase. And this is the TLDR version. I talk much more in depth about the role of aromatase, how to support aromatase, why you want to support aromatase, especially if you have low estrogen, especially if you're struggling with fertility. Like you want estrogen levels to be sufficient. And I think so often we think of estrogen as the bad guy, and that's just kind of how it's set up in our society of, constantly talking about estrogen being bad. And that's not the case at all. You need estrogen for healthy ovulation. So anyways, these cells are doing their job in generating testosterone, generating estrogen in order to further support follicular development. And what happens as these follicles begin to grow, at some point, a dominant follicle is selected. And what the exact mechanism for selecting that dominant follicle isn't well understood yet. Whether it's the largest follicle, whether it's the fastest growing follicle, whatever that looks like, doesn't really matter. At some point, a dominant follicle is selected, and it begins to grow much more rapidly than all of the other developing follicles. And when this happens, competition gets real. We think of pregnancy, and we think of our cycle as life-giving, and it gets pretty Darwin pretty fast. Once that dominant follicle is selected, because what happens is it begins to produce estrogen more and more quickly. And if you remember back to, there's an inverse relationship between estrogen levels and follicular stimulating hormone levels. So as it produces estrogen, more higher and higher concentrations of estrogen, what it's doing is sending a feedback up to your brain to shut off production of follicular stimulating hormone, which the follicles need for food, essentially. And so what this does is it effectively starves out all of the remaining developing follicles, and this leaves only the dominant follicle as, viable, as actually living, as actually being even capable of becoming fertilized during this cycle. And so suddenly you have high estrogen levels, low follicular FSH levels, and then what happens is there's a trigger for luteinizing hormone, which is a hormone we haven't even talked about, to be released from the base of your brain and from your pituitary. So luteinizing hormone surges, and this spurs the ovum, so that egg from the middle of the dominant follicle, to release, to pop out of that follicle. Once it pops out, so it pops out like through the follicle, through your ovary wall, and then it's collected by the long hair-like projections on your fallopian tube. It's gathered up, caressed by those, pulled into your fallopian tube, where it begins to travel through your fallopian tube. If fertilization occurs, it actually happens in the fallopian tube. Again, I talk about this more, the mechanics or the bio process of that in some of Organicus courses. So fertilization happens, it actually happens in the fallopian tube, and then the egg is carried into your uterus, where if it's fertilized, it will implant, or the goal is, of course, to implant if we're seeking a healthy, viable pregnancy. Otherwise, in the case of a non-fertilized egg or ovum, it still moves into the uterus. And then, meanwhile, this is the important part for PMS symptoms. This is the important part for menstrual cramps. Meanwhile, back in your ovary, a hull is left behind. So when that egg, when that ovum bursts out of the follicle, what's left behind becomes known as the corpus luteum. So it's no longer known as the follicle, it's known as the corpus luteum. And the reason for this is because now, rather than making estrogen, it begins making progesterone, along with a little bit of estrogen still. So estrogen production isn't completely shut off. It is diminished, The key point here is progesterone production begins once that egg is released from the follicle, and the follicle itself now transitions and becomes something completely different, known as the corpus luteum. This is Latin for yellow body, because it actually looks like a yellow, body, like a yellow lake or something on a microscope slide. Let's see. So the key takeaway here. So you remember how I mentioned that luteinizing hormone surge, that LH surge that spurred the release of the egg from the follicle at ovulation. That luteinizing hormone is what is responsible for shifting the follicular hull to making testosterone and estrogen over to making progesterone and estrogen during the second half of your cycle. So that's going to come back when we talk about what essential oils support a healthy cycle, and specifically support, minimal menstrual cramps and minimal PMS symptoms. So throughout the second half of your cycles, so from the day of ovulation until the day that you start to bleed again, progesterone is being produced by the corpus luteum. And it's being produced kind of in this bell-shaped curve. So at ovulation, typically, you will see a progesterone spike. If you are monitoring your hormone levels at home with a quantitative fertility analyzer, such as the Mira fertility monitor, then you will typically see a progesterone spike that corresponds with the likely day of ovulation. And then what you will likely see is progesterone kind of returning baseline levels for a couple of days. And then what happens is progesterone rises in this bell-shaped curve. It hits a peak and then it falls off again until your next period starts. And it does this kind of in a bell-shaped curve. So this is why if you have ever, we're not talking about fertility challenges in this particular series. However, if you have ever had fertility challenges or another reason why your progesterone levels would be checked, this is why a doctor would order that blood test on cycle day 21, because in theory, this is halfway between the day that you ovulate and the day that your next cycle starts, assuming that you have a 28-day cycle. Now, there's tons of reasons why progesterone on cycle day 21 does not mean that you have low progesterone, namely because you might not have ovulated on day 14 and you might not start to bleed on cycle day 28. There is this nice bell-shaped curve associated with progesterone production during the second half of your cycle. And there are a lot of reasons why that curve isn't always bell-shaped, or even when it is bell-shaped, it's still not healthy. And in fact, there are 5 different known luteal phase deficiencies. And what luteal phase deficiency means is deficient production of progesterone during the second half of your cycle. So there are 5 known luteal phase deficiencies. 4 of those are pretty well defined. The 5th of those it's not so well understood kind of what is causing that or what contributes to that during your cycle, like what hormonal imbalance is contributing to that. What is known is what, how that appears in terms of estrogen, progesterone, production and estrogen progesterone ratios compared with quote unquote normal, or we're going to say healthy cycles. So now here I want to pause and just define what a healthy cycle looks like. A healthy cycle, and this is entirely possible. I know because I've experienced it before, like fairly recently. In a healthy cycle, it is completely possible to see all of these transitions, all of these hormonal transitions as they should occur. And I use the word should here, as they occur in a healthy woman. It's possible to see all of these hormonal transitions as they occur in a healthy woman. It's possible not to have mood swings. It's possible not to know when your period is going to start. And what I mean by that is you have absolutely no symptoms. You have no cramping. You have no mood swings. You have no extreme irritability. You have no bloating. At most, what you have is a day or two where you are hungrier than usual before your period starts. And that is completely normal. And so you actually wake up and, go into the bathroom and you're surprised by the fact that you started to bleed during the night. Who knew, right? I mean, this was something that for the first, I can't even tell you how many years of my cycle, I had no idea that, what I was experiencing, the cramps and, debilitating cramps to the point of like taking days off school. I had no idea that that was not normal and that was not healthy. And, I myself resorted to birth control to control it. And what I really hope you walk away from this conversation knowing is that there are ways to support a healthy cycle without birth control. This is moving beyond birth control. And one of those ways, like one of the tools in your toolbox, like all of the tools in your toolbox are natural. They're all dietary and lifestyle changes, because this makes such a profound impact on, honestly, every aspect of your health and well-being. And one of those tools, one of these natural tools in your toolbox, is essential oils, which again, we're going to get into now. And so, without further ado, let's begin talking about some of the essential oils that support your cycle health. And just as a quick recap, what happens in the first half of your cycle impacts what happens in the second half of your cycle. So that follicular development, that ovulation itself, all impact the luteal phase. So that second half of your cycle. And this is so critical to having a healthy period, a healthy pain-free period, and also healthy premenstrual phase. All right. So first, we're going to talk about the big essential oil. This is one that you have likely heard of as an herb to support your menstrual cycle, but you may not have heard of it as an essential oil. And this is Vitex berry, also known as chaste tree. And yes, this is available as an essential oil. So how does Vitex berry support your cycle? So there's all kinds of claims on the internet that Vitex berry boost progesterone production. And here's the thing, very few things actually boost progesterone production. What happens is that when you have a healthy ovulation, progesterone levels are naturally higher during your luteal phase than when you don't have healthy ovulation. So what does healthy ovulation look like? Well, remember how I mentioned that luteinizing hormone surges, so it spikes at the time of ovulation? Well, that spike in luteinizing hormone, the luteinizing hormone itself, and you might have linked these two up already, luteinizing hormone, luteal phase. Luteinizing hormone is responsible for converting that follicle into the corpus luteum. It actually elicits key changes within the follicle itself that transition it over from follicular development into support of a fertilized embryo. Because your body, whether your intention is to get pregnant or not, it doesn't matter. In every cycle, your body operates as though the goal of that cycle is a pregnancy. And in order to do that, progesterone itself is the hormone that supports a cush uterine lining. So it makes it possible for that embryo to implant in the event that there is a fertilized egg. Then the corpus luteum is responsible for maintaining that uterine lining until placenta forms and takes over production of progesterone around the 12th week of pregnancy. Problems with the corpus luteum itself are often associated with early miscarriage as well. Now, normally in a cycle where you don't achieve pregnancy, because pregnancy is not your goal, then the corpus luteum has a natural lifespan of about 10 to 16 days, maybe up to 18. Although if you hit that 18 day mark, you might need an at-home pregnancy test. But anyways, the natural lifespan of the corpus luteum in the absence of a pregnancy, in the absence of fertilized embryo, is about 10 to 18 days. And the reason that it, or the way that it makes progesterone during that whole time, is because of the role of luteinizing hormone at ovulation to spur a healthy corpus luteum to form so that it's able to release progesterone as it should, in a healthy cycle throughout the duration of the luteal phase. So what is known about moving back over to Vitexberry? Vitexberry has been shown in a few scientific studies to boost the luteinizing hormone surge at time of ovulation. So it is an essential oil worth considering for supporting your cycle. Now, if you have ever taken Vitexberry herb, you know, whether this is capsule form, whether this is loose herb that you make into a drink, if you have smelled Vitexberry, it has a very distinct smell that is very specific. I have not smelled anything else that smells like Vitexberry besides Vitexberry. And so when you smell that, that is what the essential oil smells like. It's, you know, that taken up to 1,000. It, you know, you get that aroma of Vitexberry when you smell the essential oil. And this can be extremely supportive when, if you've had recurrent miscarriages, if you have PMS cramps, if you have menstrual cramps during your cycle. So Vitexberry essential oil. Another one that is common, and when to take it. So once you see your estrogen, this is where at home hormone monitoring comes into play. Once you see your estrogen levels start to rise, or if you're monitoring your cervical fluid patterns, your cervical mucus patterns, then once you see fertile quality cervical fluid being produced during any given cycle, then you would start supplementing with the Vitexberry essential oil or Vitexberry herb up until you confirm ovulation. So this doesn't have to be peak plus three. This can be just through peak day or peak day plus one. And again, if that language is a little bit foreign to you, you'll find links in the show notes to a couple of other episodes where I talk more about your menstrual cycle and what, you know, what these different terminologies mean. But just assume peak is ovulation day plus one. You know, so take it for once you see estrogen levels start to surge through your suspected ovulation day, and then one more day after that. So that's a way to really support, you know, healthy progesterone levels during the second half of your cycle. Now, while we're not talking about PCOS, so polycystic ovarian syndrome, in particular in this episode, I want to bring up PCOS and whether Vitexberry supports this as well. Here's the thing with PCOS. With PCOS, frequently what happens is you will have attempts at ovulation that never get the job done. And in classical PCOS, what this presents with is multiple luteinizing hormone surges throughout your cycle until you successfully ovulate. Now, the thing is, with PCOS, oftentimes you're not making sufficient estrogen levels to allow a proper luteinizing hormone to surge to adequate levels. So I don't know that Vitexberry is necessarily the right choice for women with PCOS. I feel like there are better choices. So yeah, just throwing that out there, because I mean, I really don't think the problem is that your LH surge is high enough. And again, I am speaking from my own perspective, because I have had cycles that are consistent with PCOS before, and I have seen those LH surges, and they are like the concentration's already there. But just for whatever reason, you know, that follicle isn't breaking out of the hull yet. Like it's not ready. It's like, it's not mature enough to actually survive on its own as an egg or an ovum. So, I don't know that Vitexberry is necessarily the right choice. If you have PCOS, and I just didn't want to leave that unsaid, during this conversation. So, but if you are a woman who has menstrual cramps, if you're a woman who has, again, menstrual cramps or cramps during the premenstrual phase, or even crazy mood swings during the premenstrual phase, or the first, you know, few days of your period, then I think Vitex Berry essential oil and Vitex Berry herb are fantastic choices and would, you know, encourage you to experiment with these in order to support your cycle. Just quick disclaimer here, I am not a healthcare practitioner. I am not your healthcare practitioner. And so please take what I share here with a grain of salt and run it past your own healthcare team or through your own health. What is the word I'm looking for? Run it through your own decision-making process to see if this really rings true for you. So, and you know, is something that's going to work for your body. Like, do your due diligence and fully vet what you're hearing here. One note before we move on from Vitex Berry, just so you know, there is very, very, very little research on Vitex Berry essential oil itself for use in supporting that, the height of that LH surge. So I'm supporting adequate levels or heightened levels of luteinizing hormone. However, that said, there appears to be, based on the limited information available, there appears to be some of the constituents in the essential oils that help to support that heightened luteinizing hormone. Now, I just want to let you know that for Vitex Berry in particular, because the research is so limited around the essential oil itself, that you may consider incorporating the herb into your day in the form of it. The easiest way to do it is in the form of a tea, and begin taking that again when you see your estrogen levels spike around mid-cycle up through the day. Or the day after you ovulate. So this would be, if you're recording your basal body temp, this would be on the day that you record your first high temp, or maybe even for like an extra day, like first high temp plus one, to take your Vitex Berry. And definitely if you're, you know, tracking your cervical fluid, or if you're doing at home hormone monitoring, when you see your estrogen start to rise, begin supplementing with the Vitex Berry tea. So again, that this would be for any of the essential oils that we talk about, where you may also consider incorporating the herb into your diet. For Vitex Berry in particular, I wanted to make that comment just because of the limited amount of data available for the essential oil, whereas there's you know, substantial data available for the entire herb. And there are some key constituents that are not volatile, and so they aren't pulled over into the essential oil. However, some of the constituents that are suspected to support that luteinizing hormone surge are in both the herb and the essential oil. So if you're someone who, you know, doesn't enjoy the taste of Vitex Berry, like me, then using the essential oil would be a good way to, you know, still help support that LH surge without having to drink the herb. Just know that it's likely not as effective because it's not incorporating all of the compounds in Vitex Berry that help with that LH surge. All right. Moving on. All right. So now that we've talked about Vitex Berry, let's move on and talk about something at the complete opposite end of the spectrum, because that was a ton of information. So we're going to talk about lavender essential oil next. Now, why lavender? Well, lavender is one of the greatest essential oils for just helping to calm you and helping to reduce stress. And the thing, I mean, one of the biggest reasons why women struggle with ovulation and why women struggle with fertility issues is stress. I mean, just hands down, it's the elephant in the room. It's the thing that, you know, everybody points to. And there's a reason why it's the bad wolf. It's because it's the big bad wolf and it affects everything in your body. And so lavender can really help to attenuate that. You know, you can think of lavender, the big words now are adaptogenic herbs and adaptogenic, you know, foods. And lavender is kind of like, it's an adaptogenic essential oil. And once again, lavender tea, when we're talking about the whole herb, or lavender essential oil in your body oil, for instance, these are great ways to, you know, help give your body that signal that it's okay to calm down and okay to kind of slip into that rest and digest state and out of fight or flight. And the way that I propose to use any essential oils that are designed for stress relief is to use at key points in your day. So first of all, feel free to use them during a stressful event. If there's something that just has your adrenaline, you know, through the roof, reach for your essential oil and take a deep inhale. I think this is one of the beauties of essential oils, is because if you have them handy at, say, at your workstation or at home or wherever, or, you know, in your car or wherever, you really can, it really is as easy as like reaching over, grabbing the bottle, and just inhaling. Like, it's so easy, and you really get this instantaneous relief. Because the thing with essential oils is, once that smell hit, it's one of the quickest ways to your brain, right? Once that smell hits your nose, it's taken straight to your brain, and your brain's already processing it. And I mean, it's just, it's a quick way. I think again, this goes back to what I said at the very beginning of the conversation, you know, the very beginning of the series, is that we oftentimes just we're not ingesting it. We think that's not doing anything. And there's more than one way into your body than through your mouth, right? Like, there's more than one way for things to be beneficial to your body. And aroma is one of them, and one of the quickest ones of these. So yeah, from the time that you smell it, and even though you are unable to see it, what you are smelling is scent molecules, and those molecules are making their way very rapidly into your bloodstream and beginning to circulate. In addition to eliciting that, you know, immediate response to your brain, and sending that signal to, you know, that it's okay. And it's okay to take a deep breath and just be calm. So lavender is a great one. And again, this is kind of opposite end from the Vitex essential oil, where we're kind of messing with our, or, you know, supporting our reproductive hormones, to ones where we're just controlling that or helping our body through the stress response. And why is stress such a big deal? Well, this kind of leads over into a conversation around inflammation as well. But stress is such a big deal because, historically speaking, and I'm going to bring up PCOS one more time. Historically speaking, it's thought that PCOS arose because of a signal that starvation was imminent. And so if you are in a place where you don't have food readily available, then your body is not to procreate, right? It's not going to be able to procreate because it's unable to support another life. You know, at this point, you're barely able to support your own life if starvation is a concern. And so it's thought that PCOS was a way of shutting off or delaying ovulation until the outside environment improved to a state so that ovulation was safe again. And it's the same way with any stress event. Stress events are able to delay ovulation. And in fact, not only are they able to delay ovulation, but things like a sickness or an illness will also delay ovulation. It doesn't have to be anything as crazy as a sickness or an illness. It can be an actual stress event. The other thing about lavender, so when to use lavender. So I really encourage, I mean, with an essential oil that supports your body in coping with stress, it's fine to use this at any point during your cycle. Now, when you're using it for cramp support, use it freely on the days that you are cramping. And what this is going to do also, because of lavender's other properties, lavender is an antispasmodic. So that means that it's going to help to reduce the contractions associated with cramping. Lavender is also just in general, it's a relaxing, it's anti-inflammatory. Lavender can even help with mood swings. So this gets over into the energetics of essential oils a little bit more. It gets over into the Eastern view of essential oils a little bit more. So progesterone is a very hot, comparatively speaking, sex hormone. And compared to what? Well, compared to estrogen. So during the second half of your cycle, from the time that you ovulate until the time that you start to bleed again, your body temperature is higher because progesterone has thermogenic properties that estrogen does not. And so, you know, one of the ways that you confirm ovulation is to take your temperature upon rising every morning, and you'll see that your temperature during the second half of your cycle from ovulation until your next period is higher than it was the first half of your cycle. And so what is often associated with mood swings is high progesterone levels compared with estrogen levels. And specifically as those two both begin to fall off. So when that corpus luteum decays and stop making progesterone and estrogen at the end of your cycle, what's happening is oftentimes there's a flip-flop between which hormone is predominant, which one is higher. Is estrogen higher than progesterone, or is progesterone higher than estrogen? And oftentimes there's a lot of flip-flopping going on during this time. And so this leads to mood swings. And if irritability is kind of your MO during this phase, it's likely because progesterone is so abundant compared with estrogen, because it is a hot hormone and hot is associated more with hot emotions such as anger and irritability and frustration. So, you know, just keeping your lavender essential oil handy, and whether this is, you know, undiluted and you're just smelling it as needed during this phase of your cycle, or whether you're diluting it in a body oil or something like that, and then, you know, applying it on an as needed basis during this phase of your cycle when you're actively experiencing symptoms, it can be beneficial for that. All right, moving on. Clary sage essential oils. So this is another one that this is one that you'll often see, because clary sage is pretty abundant in its phytoestrogenic compounds. And what are phytoestrogens? They're plant-based compounds that mimic the role of estrogen within the body. So either they, and this is something that I've talked about before, they're essentially nature's endocrine disruptors. And unlike the synthetic endocrine disruptors, so the man-made endocrine disruptors, which wreak complete havoc on your body, phytoestrogens are natural, and your body was made to interact with phytoestrogens, right? They're natural, you're natural. Your body was not made to interact with synthetic endocrine disruptors or man-made endocrine disruptors, because your body is natural. Those man-made endocrine disruptors are not. So clary sage essential oil. So this is one you'll often see mentioned for, you know, its phytoestrogen properties. It also has, like lavender, it has antispasmodic properties. So it helps with those contractions, helps with, you know, AKA cramps that you experience during your premenstrual phase, and also, you know, during the first bit of your cycle. The thing with clary sage, it also may help balance the hormones. The big question is when during your cycle you use it, And because of its estrogenic properties, I mean, really, once again, during the first half of your cycle, and especially during that periovulatory phase, so once you see your estrogen levels start go up, I feel like this is a good time to use clary sage essential oil during your cycle, and also when you're actively experiencing symptoms. Because the big question is, okay, so if progesterone and estrogen are kind of doing this flip-flop, during your premenstrual phase, and then also, during your period itself, then how do you know whether your symptoms are due to estrogen dominance or progesterone dominance during that time? And it's kind of hard to know because, to be perfectly honest, e deficiencies in either one can lead to menstrual cramping. And the way that this happens is because if you have low estrogen levels relative to progesterone, during your premenstrual phase or during your period, then this can actually cause constriction of your blood vessels within your uterus. And when you have that diminished supply of oxygen, then your uterus cramps. Low estrogen levels can cause uterine contractions or cramping. Now, on the flip side of that, if you have high estrogen levels compared to progesterone, then estrogen is often the hormone that leads to increased prostaglandin production. And the prostaglandins themselves are what cause that uterine contraction. So, this can cause like more intense menstrual cramps. So that's just a case of what we want is balance. Like we want balance between the estrogen we want and progesterone. The thing with phytoestrogens is they oftentimes help to balance anything. Like even though they are estrogen mimickers within the body, it's how they behave once they're bound to the estrogen receptors that kind of that levels out things within the body. So their response kind of attenuates the effects of estrogen within the body or regulates the effects. It evens out. You can think of these as another class of adaptogenic herbs that just support healthy function. So even when your hormones are kind of imbalanced, these phytoestrogens move in and support regulation and support just flow and kind of help just to balance everything, just to help blend all the things that are going on within your body. Because yeah, that's your hormones. Like so often, we think of ovulation as being the time when hormonal changes are so dynamic within your cycle. And the thing is, that's really not the case. It's this leading up to your period. Honestly, even during your period itself, because at this point, depending on how long it takes for that next cohort of follicles to begin developing, you really don't have a whole lot of estrogen or progesterone production at all going on throughout your cycle. Again, depending on how long your cycle lasts and also how long your follicular phase is. So how long it takes for that estrogen to start building after follicular stimulating hormone spurs development of that next cycle's follicles. So during this very dynamic time of your premenstrual phase and then also your period itself, there is a lot of hormonal turbulence. And oftentimes this is why, if you struggle with acne, this is why you get breakouts during this time because you have this, rapid and constantly changing ratio of progesterone and estrogen kind of fighting it out or figuring, falling over themselves to reach the bottom. So essential oils like clary sage, which are so phytoestrogenic and can be very supportive for that. And again, just whether you're smelling it or, you know, have your clear sage diluted in a body oil and then applying it either way. Now, another one, and this kind of leads back into, to round out, before we move on from the phytoestrogens, fennel essential oil is another great one. Fennel is a very phytoestrogenic herb as well. And things like fennel tea is why women's tea that contain fennel and licorice are so common. Like, those are common ingredients in women's tea to support your cycle during this time. And so the fennel essential oil is another great one to support cramps during this part of your cycle. Now, kind of moving back over into the Eastern view of it, and if you want to dive deeper into this Eastern aspects and how your cycle is viewed from an Ayurvedic lens, then check out the show notes, because I have a free course where we talk about how Ayurveda views your menstrual cycle and then 10 ways that you're able to support your menstrual cycle naturally, that are Ayurveda recommendations or arose from the Ayurvedic way of viewing your cycle. So that's kind of transitioning over into this. Frankincense, and I would say any kind of grounding oil. So here, frankincense, vetiver is an excellent choice. You know, pulling back over from osmia's seasonal prima with lavender and vetiver is a fantastic choice for supporting your menstrual cycle, because you have the benefits of the lavender plus the benefits of the vetiver. And vetiver itself, I'll talk a little bit more about frankincense here in a sec. Vetiver itself is a very grounding oil. It's a very cooling oil. It's going to help remove that heat, remove some of the, you know, heat within the body. Think of that as inflammation, help remove some of the heat that's associated with essentially what is happening during your period itself. I mentioned earlier that progesterone is a hot hormone, comparatively speaking, compared with estrogen. Estrogen is a very cool hormone. And so the first half of your cycle, the follicular phase, is governed by estrogen, which is a cool hormone. The second half is governed by progesterone, a hotter hormone. And this is why body temperature is higher during the second phase of your cycle than it is during the first phase of your cycle. Now, the question is, how do you get from hot to cool once your cycle's over? Like, moving from cool to hot, we have this ovulation event, right? And we have the luteinizing hormone, which converts the follicle over into the corpus luteum. But then what's going on here? Like, how do you, once you're done with your hot phase of your cycle, how do you cool your body back off to start your new cycle? Well, in Ayurveda, your period itself is a very, it's a releasing, the heat releasing phase of your cycle. This is a vata driven phase. If you're into the energetic doshas, this is a very like cooling, drying phase, your period itself, cooling and drying. And so you want to do two things kind of during this. You want to support your body in releasing that heat. And you're able to do this with grounding essential oils. Again, vetiver and frankincense are two of those. You're also want to think of nourishing your body. And this is where, you know, that clary sage, the fennel would come in, because those are both phytoestrogenic. So they're going to mimic the effects of estrogen within your body. They're going to help to cool your body and estrogen is also a very nourishing hormone, and to supply that nourishment. The frankincense is also like such an essential oil associated with mood and elevating mood and kind of, you know, helping you to become centered. And so frankincense is an excellent essential oil for mood swings. If that's, you know, one of the things that you struggle with during your cycle. And I'm also going to mention Ylang Ylang here, because if you, I feel like oftentimes when we're struggling with mood swings, we're also struggling kind of with frigidity, and Ylang Ylang is one of the best essential oils for, you know, helping you to be more loving, helping you to open that heart space. Likewise, rose is another incredible essential oil for this. You know, rose is a very anti-inflammatory oil. It's a very soothing oil. It's a very heart space opening oil. And so rose is another great choice. And likewise, so is geranium. Geranium is such an uplifting oil. It also is thought to have hormone balancing effects. You know, there's quite a few research papers out there talking about the hormone balancing or hormone supportive aspects of geranium essential oil. So it is another great choice. All right. So wrapping up, where does that, like, what have we talked about here? Because we have covered a ton. What did we talk about? So we talked about Vitex or Chase Berry. And this one is one that you would use specifically around the time of ovulation. So once your estrogen levels start to rise and you are approaching ovulation, and this supports higher luteinizing hormone surge levels. Clary Sage essential oil would be one that is definitely supportive during that same time, during that peri-ovulatory phase when your estrogen levels are rising. It you know, would in all likelihood also support higher LH surge with its phytoestrogenic properties, phytoestrogenic effect. Fennel is another one with high phytoestrogenic properties. So Clary Sage and fennel, kind of during that peri-ovulatory time, and also when you're experiencing the issues, whether this is during your premenstrual phase or during your period or both, then these would be two beneficial phytoestrogenic type essential oils to use during that phase. Then we talked about geranium and rose for helping to elevate mood and helping to, you know, just helping you feel good. We also talked about lavender for its antispasmodic effects and for its alleviation or helping to reduce stress. Lavender would be one you can reach for throughout your entire cycle. Then we talked about frankincense and vetiver, two very grounding oils. They're helping to remove the heat from that second, helping to set the stage, helping to prep you for your next cycle, helping you to remove, just helping during this transition. Again, your period itself, it's very mobile, very dry. Like the qualities of it are mobile, drying, and cold or cooling. And so anything that you're able to do in the first half of your cycle is a cool phase of your cycle. So normally what you would do when you're using Eastern mentality, or yeah, an Eastern approach to this, is you would kind of counter all three of those. But the thing is, what you want to set up is a cool state at the beginning of your next cycle, because when estrogen dominates from you know, during this follicular development stage all the way up through ovulation, with estrogen dominating, that's a very cooling, it's a very nourishing. So you've got all kinds of growth happening. You have the growth of that uterine lining again during this phase of your cycle. And so with that growing, nourishing, you know, cooling properties of estrogen, what you're looking to do during your period itself is you want to help with the cooling process. you want to help your body eliminate this excess heat that's associated with, you know, the luteal phase of your cycle. And at the same time, you also don't want to become over dry or extremely mobile. So you want, you know, we want good flow during this time. We want adequate flow and we want complete flow, right? Like we want all of the old cycles stuff to be cleared out in preparation for new. And so we want to be supportive of this without overextending our bodies or overdoing it in any location. So this is why, you know, a warm bath feels so good during this phase. But at the same time, you know, we're also seeking to remove this internal heat from the center of our bodies. And so this is where these grounding essential oils come into play. And oftentimes grounding essential oils are cooling in nature. Again, frankincense and vetiver being two great choices. All right. You'll find a link in today's show notes that takes you over to a free download of the essential oils we talked about today and what, you know, what benefits they bring, and a couple of pairing options for you as well to make your own essential oil blends. Next time on the podcast, we are talking more about women's health with pelvic floor therapist, Gina Valdez. Gina not only is a certified pelvic floor therapist, she also practices Mercier therapy. And we'll talk more about what Mercier therapy is and how it supports your body. So it supports conditions like PCOS, endometriosis, and more when we're talking menstrual cycle support. So if you're not already subscribed to Holistic Wellness, be sure to subscribe before you leave today and take a quick second to leave a review for the show. It means the world to me and it helps to just spread the news about this podcast. So it means the world to me, you know, when you take the time to leave a 5-star review. I love it also when you share this show with a friend. So if you know someone who would find benefit from what we talked about here today, also go ahead, that share button, and send this link over to them so they are able to listen. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, bye.
Next week on the podcast, I'm so excited to share with you an interview that I did with Gina Valdez, who is a pelvic floor therapist and also a Mercier therapist here in North County, San Diego. And in that conversation, we talk about pelvic floor support. So this is how to avoid a leaky bladder. This is how to support your body when you're dealing with a condition like interstitial cystitis or even recurrent UTIs. This is how to approach fertility challenges naturally using Mercier therapy. This is a conversation not to miss. So be sure you're subscribed to Holistic Wellness. That episode drops on Friday. All right. In case you know someone who would enjoy today's episode, please take a quick second and send this link over to them. Just go ahead and share this episode with them so that they're able to listen when they get a chance. And it would mean the world to me if you take a second and leave a 5-star review for Holistic Wellness, because your review really helps spread the word about this podcast. And when you take a screenshot and send that screenshot over to Hey, that's H-E-Y, at rainorganica.com, you'll receive a token of appreciation in return. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, bye.